John chapter 15, if you look at the first verse, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help me today. I pray that you guide and direct my thoughts, my mind, my heart. Lord, I pray that you fill me with your power as I teach here the next few moments. Lord, I pray that you touch us all. Lord, help me, Lord. I pray that you help me to do your will. Amen. You know, I grew up in this church. What a great church to grow up in. I've heard a lot of great teaching, a lot of great preaching. And I heard so many sermons on walk with God, pray, all that. I'd listened to a great man of God like Cowboy Tom Williams praying hours and hours. I tried and failed and tried and failed. One time, though, I did real good. I was praying, and I felt like I was, I don't know, an hour or two into it. And I look at the clock, and about 5 minutes passed. And I don't know maybe if you can relate with that, but I was very discouraged. And I would say my walk with God, you know, went to Bible college here, went to the ministry, been in ministry about 20 years or so, been pastoring now about 10 years, head pastor, 10 years as an assistant pastor, and I had a walk with God. I've seen many answers to prayer. I've seen God do some great things. But looking back on it, I would say my walk with God was marginal. And God in his grace was still good to me, even though I was not as good to him as he's good to me. And about 6 years ago, the church I pastored, we went through a building project, something that every young preacher boy loves to do until you do it. Amen? And if you've been through a building project and raising money, you know what I'm talking about. And a lot of these gray hairs come from that. Amen? And so I went through it, and God blessed, did amazing things. We had amazing victories. And little did I know God would take me through a valley right after. Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. In that chapter, he talks about he takes us through a valley. One of the things I learned while I was here is what do you do and what should you do when you go through a valley, when you go through a difficult time? Honestly, I didn't know what to do other than going to God. I pursued God. And the best thing in my life is pursuing God. Isn't it amazing? A God that loves us, pursues us as sinners. And here we are, a sinner that does not deserve God. And here he is pursuing us. Amen. Now that I'm saved, I need to pursue him. And it's an ongoing thing that we need to pursue God. And honestly, a 30-minute time in the morning really needs to be better than that. And as God took me through a valley, I didn't realize it. And so often, as it happens to many people, you don't know until you're in it that you're in a valley. Things go wrong. People look at you weird. They're starting to wonder what's wrong with you, what's happening with you. Then pastors get a little senile or cynical. And, of course, I've been senile all my life, but, you know, you get cynical. You know what I'm saying? Some of you understand what I'm talking about. And you go to God, and sometimes you just hear the crickets chirping in your walk with God. You ever been there? It's not a fun place to be. And my emotional and spiritual pain that I was feeling kept driving me to a God that loved me, and I knew he loved me. But yet, why am I going through this? Through a long series of events, and God changed my walk with God. He organized it. And what was once a laborious 30 minutes, including my Bible reading, became a 60 to 90 minute, I have to stop because I've got to go do something now. It became something that helped me not just do my time. It's not something that was hard or laborious. It became something that was very easy. I didn't realize it, honestly. I didn't. And during COVID, the Lord put on my heart, I need to teach the church what I went through. Well, I'm self-conscious as a pastor. You know, we've got feelings too. Whether or not you realize it, pastors have feelings. Amen? And I didn't want people to think, man, what a crazy sermon. Why did the pastor preach that? Doesn't the pastor know we all have a walk with God and that we all pray? Doesn't he know that we've heard great sermons way before him? And they were a lot better, by the way. Doesn't he know? I mean, these are the thoughts that go through the minds of us. I'm resisting it. And so I start the sermon series, and I preach the first sermon. You know, I was transparent. I was vulnerable. I did not like it. And after the service, give the invitation, I see God's people respond in such a great way. Church member after church member came up to me and said, "Pastor, I needed that." And the Holy Spirit said, "Why do you resist so much when I ask you to preach something?" Whew. Ripped my face off. I preached part two, part three, part four, part five. Church responded very well. "Pastor, you got any more of those prayer cards? Pastor, you got any more of those devotion cards? Pastor, you got any more of this?" Sure. And God helped me to realize that preaching's not about me. It's about Him. It's not about what I can do or how well I can deliver it, how many ums I say, how many times I trip over myself. It's about God getting His message out. Then shortly after, the Lord's like, "Put that in a book." I'm like, "God, I'm not a book writer. This is C.W. Kennedy you're talking to. Don't you know who you're talking to? You don't know who my dad is, right? I'm a Kennedy." God's like, "Remember, it's not about you." So after I got done rebelling and resisting God, amen, preachers, I did what He wanted me to do. I put it in a book. Again, still very self-conscious, still very vulnerable feeling. Here I am with this book, and I don't care about making money on a book. I'm not trying to make money on a book. I'm just trying to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. But God helped me organize some things about a walk with God. And honestly, I know everyone walks with God differently. Everyone has a different relationship. And I'm not trying to make your relationship with God like my relationship. Well, one thing that I've learned, and Brother Wilkerson, Pastor Wilkerson's already mentioned it, a walk with God is not 60 minutes of monologue, me to God, me to God, me to God. It's dialogue. I talk, He talks. He talks, I listen. It's meditating. The Lord showed me in my walk with God I need to have a time for confessing of sin. And when I wake up in the morning, it's the best time to walk with God. Pastor Trevor quoted a poem that's in the book. When I met God in the morning, I realized in the morning at 3:30, 4 o'clock, I'm not motivated to walk with God. I have a sinful heart. I need to get some coffee. But I realized that Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him." That's what I need. I need to seek the Lord. I also learned that we need to praise God. We approach God, and the Bible shows us how to approach God. You know, we enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with... You approach a king through thanksgiving and praise. And I learned that in my devotion time with God teaching me how to approach Him. Then I realized that a lot of times if I don't have my prayers answered, it's not because I didn't ask. Maybe because I have sin that's in the way. Jeremiah 5:25 says, "Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you." I read that in my Bible reading. It broke my heart. And God says, "I want to answer your prayers, but your sins are withholding good things from you." So after I got done confessing my sins, I realized I need to return to God. And Isaiah 44:22 says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." You know, God wants us to come back to Him. He knows, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we're dust. He's not surprised when we sin. Then I had my Bible reading. It was a good day in my life years ago when I gave up control of what portions of Bible that I read. It was a challenge that I've heard other people take. I took it years and years ago. About reading the Bible through an entire year. I submit my Bible reading to a Bible reading schedule, and I let the Holy Spirit guide me. Before that, I stayed in Psalms and Proverbs. I liked Deuteronomy and Joshua and Judges, the exciting books. I liked the Gospels. I naturally gravitate toward things like that. But then I found out that God has something for me in Habakkuk, Zephaniah. Haggai is just as inspired and preserved as Romans. And part of the problem of my lack of intelligence is because I do what I want to do rather than following the Holy Spirit. And then I, of course, pray. I mean, we've heard a lot about prayer. And the Lord guided me and helped me and organized, and I have these devotion cards, as we call them, and I stick with this organization. Not that, you know, I'm trying to organize God into a box, but we organize that which is important. Your checking account and your checkbook should be organized, right? You go to a secular job or your church, that should be organized, right? Why shouldn't God get our organization? And I want to challenge you here. Your walk with God can be so much better. Amen. And since God took me through a valley 6 years ago, my walk with God has gone from 30 minutes at best to 60 to 90 minutes, easy. And a lot of times I got to cut it off. That's just in the morning. That's not during the day. Walking with God is a daily, throughout the day process. And I would encourage you here, you don't have to go through my process. The book that Brother Wilkerson gave us, that's a great resource as well. And I want to challenge you, can your walk with God improve? I'm saying this as a pastor, mine can. I think sometimes the problem with our church people being so unspiritual is because their pastor is unspiritual. And I think sometimes the problem with revival in our country is because the pastors need revival first. Amen. I want to challenge you there. Thank you.